Good morning. For various reasons this morning, I really needed to be here to worship, to bring my heart back to Jesus. Thanks. And thanks, Shana, for that song. For those of you who don't know, Shana Hutzel is one of these strong, vibrant Christians in school, public school. She's a senior, standing for Jesus, singing for Him. Thanks. She sang this song at the showcase at Salisbury Thursday night. I need to bring my heart back to worship Jesus. I want to invest my life in serving Him. And we have these words over here. I desperately need to continue to let God's Word and His Holy Spirit transform my life. And that's my prayer for you and for me this time of looking into the Word. So you have your Bibles, devices. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14, and we're in this sermon series. You want to jump back to that slide, Sam? The sermon series together, and we're looking at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, these three chapters here, 11, 12, 13, 14, and that specifically really focused on the life in the body as God's people come together in the church, the local congregation. And there's inevitably, back then, as it is today, they were dealing with issues and problems. And so each chapter is addressing some of these issues and problems as we share life together. So, all right. So now we're into 1 Corinthians 14. And actually, Leonard read only half of the sermon text. The other half is there. You can read it as I'm talking. And we want to give you a summary of the teaching of that I understand in this passage here this morning. So when I was a child, I thought that the universe was evolving around me, that I was the center of it, and the universe existed for my personal peace and happiness. When I became a man, I still think that way at times. Isn't that crazy? Even though I know that I was created to worship God, and I've devoted my life to that. And as I worship God, therein do I find personal peace and prosperity. But that's not what I seek. I seek to center my life around our God, the Creator of the universe. And God has revealed Himself through Jesus Christ, who came to earth as God, died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and that we could then have His Holy Spirit in us, His power in us, and we could be a part of His grand scheme, work on this in this universe, the church. So that's what kind of the background of this this series of sermons, that we together are a part of the body of Christ, those of us who have given our heart to Jesus, who've accepted His sacrifice on the cross. All right, you can go to that first slide now. And so we talked about in this sermon series back in chapter 11 that we together were a part of this body of Christ, and there's headship principles with Jesus being the head of the church. And then as we take communion, we're remembering that the blood and the bread, that the cup and the bread that remind us of this Jesus and saving us from our sins. And there was selfishness in the church back then in chapter 11. Still to today, Paul was correcting that. Chapter 12, Paul was emphasizing that. Let me just make this personal. If you're here this morning and you have given your heart to Jesus, and then when you have done that, the Holy Spirit does come into your life and He brings with Him gifts that He is releasing in you to serve the church, the body. So there's spiritual gifts that every one of us who are followers of Jesus have. You're no exception. So you have, if you're a follower of Jesus, these spiritual gifts in you that the Holy Spirit is, pardon me a minute, is releasing to edify the body of Christ. So we talked about that. But so quickly we can get caught up in these special gifts that we think are more important than others, and we as we develop a spirit of pride. And so Paul has took a whole chapter in chapter 13 to call us back to, wait a minute, the greatest gift is love. And I presented that I believe that is a gift of the Holy Spirit, that a grace that Jesus releases, His Holy Spirit releases in us. So we should be praying, God, release in me this gift of love, the grace of love. I need to love more. And when we encounter difficult people, we need that grace to love them. When we encounter our own selfishness, we need the grace to let that go and to love others. So we talked about that. And now today there's another problem that Paul is addressing in chapter 14. And that's when the church was assembling together. And they were worshiping as known Acts, the early church did, and we're taught to do, to continually assemble together, to worship. Then when we assemble together, we pray for the gifts to be released among us. And the Holy Spirit does that, but there was a specific problem in the early church where these two gifts of tongues and prophecy were causing a lot of confusion and problems in the church. So Paul takes practically a whole chapter, a lot of verses here. In fact, it continues on into the verses after 25, which we'll deal at another sermon. But these two particular problems of the gifts of prophecy and tongues. Now, before I get into that, because I want to give you my summary of the understanding of these two gifts of the church. Before we do that, in the back of your bulletin, there's a little diagram. I saw this diagram 30-some years ago in a teaching, and it really struck me. Wow, this makes sense. This helps me understand these teachings. And then, quick Google search, and there it was. I don't know where this comes from, and I don't necessarily agree with the way the gifts are broken out. It may or may not be right. There's different ways to break down the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is a bit more obvious in the teaching of Scripture. But there's an analogy of the work of God, the church. So when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came on him in a form of a dove. And Jesus, filled with the Spirit, went out and he encountered Satan in the wilderness. And he was tempted, and Jesus invested the rest of his life on earth engaging the enemy to bring the kingdom of God, to lead people to freedom from the enemy. So, using that analogy, this isn't divinely inspired. Maybe it's helpful to us in understanding the message here. So you have, I forget where this, where's that, there it is. So you have the body, well, Christ the head, and that's a clear biblical truth. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and then you have the body, and the body is comprised of every believer. You're no exception. If you're a Christian, then you are called to be a part of the church. Now, there's the universal church that in Apostles' Creed we talk about, the universal church, but biblically, the church is also broken down into local congregations, areas. So every believer biblically should be a part of a local church, a local congregation, a local expression of the body of Christ. Now, for that body, the church, to be effective, the body needs the grace, the power of the Holy Spirit in their midst. And that's revealed in these two ways through the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, and the fruits. So, making it personal again, you, unless you're a guest here, then you're attending Oakdale, and you're part of the local church here, and in the church of Oakdale, or the church that you're a part of, God is releasing through the Holy Spirit's power the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. So you personally should be expecting that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in your life. He's growing that fruit in you, and He's also releasing spiritual gifts within you, all to edify the body. Okay? So you're no exception. You're a part of this grand plan of things that God is doing. So as the gifts are released, and you can go online and listen, watch those sermons, several sermons on the spiritual gifts that Joel and Scott did, I believe, about our understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. You have the gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues has created a lot of confusion in the church. And if you have a church background that's different from Oakdale or been around churches a lot, then you've probably heard possibly some really strong teachings on tongues. Like, on the one hand, the gift of tongues is not for today and it's from the devil and we should not be exercising that. To, on the other hand, if you don't have the gift of tongues, then you're not a Christian. You're not filled with the Spirit, or something like that. And then everything in between there. And as over the years, the church has fought over this gift, disagreed, accused each other, Jesus weeps because he longs for unity in his church. And we don't always see things the same, because as I'll point out a little bit in this teaching on tongues, it's not real clear to us today. Back when Paul gave the teaching, he knew exactly what he meant, and the church knew exactly what he meant. And after, when they read this letter, they were like, there we go, it's clear. For us, for various reasons, we're not that sure. So that's okay. And I'm not going to insist on one way or the other. But I actually am going to insist on a few things. I'll get to that. But we give each other grace. Amen? All right, so in this passage, the tongues is referred to, and we understand it, and we're not sure exactly what did Paul mean by tongues. Was it a heavenly language that the Holy Spirit gives when people are worshiping? They speak out this heavenly language in a tongue that no one knows, and then there should be someone to interpret that, and this is God speaking? Yeah, possibly. It could be that. Likely is that. Is it a prayer language that when we pray and we're praying for someone or praying alone, that all of a sudden there's a language, that words that come out that don't make sense to us and we're praying in the Spirit? Yeah, probably is. Is it a foreign language that, and yeah, it is that too, because we hear stories, of, especially in third world countries, of people, as it was in Pentecost, when the people of many different languages came together and the apostles spoke and they all heard it in their own language. That was a gift of tongues. And that's still happening today in many parts of the world, where people are hearing the message, the truth proclaimed, spoken in one language. They're hearing it in their own language. Or the speaker is speaking a foreign language to a certain group of people or persons. So that happens today. I think these all three are likely true of the use of tongues. And that may not be right. I don't know. But that's kind of what it seems to me. So that's what we mean by tongues. So here's some four obvious, I think, obvious absolutes, conclusions about the tongues. One is that it was a common gift. Many people, Paul said, I thank God that I can speak in tongues more than any of you. So it was very common. The Holy Spirit was releasing this gift very often in the early church back then. It's interesting that the tongues is not mentioned in any other of Paul's writings. Not drawing any conclusions to that, just stating a fact. So it was common. The second thing is that it was a supernatural gift. It wasn't man thing. The Holy Spirit was working in people's lives, releasing people to use this gift. The third thing is that the gift, according to this passage, was highly desired. They valued the gift of speaking in tongues. Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. He valued the gift. It was beneficial. It was edifying the body. It was encouraging the church. It was speaking to unbelievers. So it was a valuable gift. Some thought the gift was superior to the other gifts back in Corinthians. And then that caused problems, and that's the fourth thing, is that the gift, as it was being used, was creating tension and confusion in the church. And Paul's assumption in this passage is that if the gift is from the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's behind it, then it won't create confusion and tension. It will edify. So Paul was trying to sort all this out in this passage. And as I mentioned, the understanding, misunderstanding of this gift continues, sadly, today in the church. So here's a few concluding thoughts on how I see the gift of tongues. It's a legitimate gift. And as we seek the gifts of the Spirit, then it's appropriate that we pray, that we ask the Holy Spirit to release in us His gifts of the Spirit, including the gift of tongues. So I have prayed for this gift many times. I still do at times. My wife has done the same thing, just using a personal example. Neither of us have really had that gift released in us much to speak of. But in our parents, in our children, we have people that have got the Holy Spirit has given this gift, and we affirm it and love it. As in Oakdale, we have people here that have the gift of tongues, and it's regularly exercised. Typically not in a public gathering like this for reasons that we'll get into in chapter 14, verses later on, talk about that. But specific, more commonly in prayer groups and prayer time, in small groups, people are worshiping, praying. The gift of tongues is very common, and we affirm that and bless it. And we seek for this gift of tongue. But Paul is saying, between these two gifts that were creating confusion back then, the gift of prophecy, I would rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So the emphasis, the thrust was, when we gather, we want God's word to be proclaimed. We want God's word to be taught. And so while tongues can edify us, and the Holy Spirit uses that gift, the gift of prophecy is especially important, and we should seek that gift. Now, the gift of prophecy is simply, I have it there, telling forth the Word of God, proclaiming God's Word boldly and clearly, supernaturally, beyond what we are of ourselves are capable of doing. And actually, I pray that God would release every time I preach and every time Joel or Scott or Keith, who did I miss? I think that's it. Every time someone preaches at Oakdale, I'm praying that that gift is released. And I guess you can decide over Sunday lunch whether that gift was released or not that particular day. But we pray and we seek that because we know that our own words are very limited. But when we take God's word and we speak it, with the gift of prophecy, then that communicates truth. And the Holy Spirit uses that to speak truth to your heart that is beyond the speaker. So some of my favorite affirmations of my preaching is when someone says, "Oh, I loved your sermon," or "I liked it," or "God really spoke to me." And I was like, "Well, what did they say? What did God say?" And they say, "Oh, they tell me what they learned from the sermon." And I'm thinking, "Where'd they get that? I didn't say that." And I love that because I know the gift is being released. The Holy Spirit is using His Word to communicate truth. There's also the prophecy includes this word of knowledge of future events. And that happens back then. It happens today in the church where, interestingly, next Sunday, our overseer, Max Zook, is going to be with us. He comes once a year to help us out, and he's going to be preaching. And back in 08, in the fall of 08, we were together as pastors. And Max said, "You know, I was praying, and I'm going by memory, so I hope I'm conveying this somewhat accurately. You can ask him next Sunday." He said something about he just senses that the church is in for really difficult economic times. And we were like, "What's that mean?" He had no clue. And then we kind of went on. Well, a couple weeks later was the whole economic crash in 08. And the next time we got together, we were like, Max, what else is God telling you? And he's like, I don't know where that came from. But I, looking back, God showed him that. To build our faith? I don't know. But that's just a little example. Another little example is this week, if I could give a personal example where it's in our bulletin. Thank you for praying for our son-in-law, Randall, and our oldest daughter, April. Randall had open heart surgery, had a valve replaced, everything as well. Thank you for praying. He was diagnosed just kind of out of the blue. They caught in May that his heart was bad. He had no clue that he had a bad heart. Except back in February, as our daughter April was praying, God very clearly told her, pray for your husband. He is going to be sick and you're going to be caring for him. She had no clue what that meant, except she started praying regularly for her husband and for his health protection. God gave her a word of knowledge. And then it was found out and maybe an answer to a prayer. Anyway, so God does. I could tell you a lot more stories of things like that, where as we're listening to the Spirit, as we're seeking the Lord's presence, He releases His gift, His prophetic gift in us, and gives us words. And I know I've heard stories like some of you, I know this has happened here, where they say, I don't know why, but I just feel led to tell you this. Or you find yourself saying something to someone in a conversation, you're like, well, I didn't plan to say that, but there it is. Sometimes that's our indigestion or stupidity, you know? But sometimes it is the Holy Spirit. And we need to be open to letting the Holy Spirit speak to us in that way. So the gifts of the tongues and prophecy. A lot more could be said about that. We can have coffee if you'd like to and talk more about these two gifts and how they're should be exercised and released in the church. But just a reminder in closing here that you are part of the body of Christ if you're a Christian here. And Jesus wants you to be an active part of the body of Christ. You're not just one of those people that are saved, but you're really kind of not really involved in the local church and you're just kind of hanging out. And that you may be that, but that's not what God wants for you. Because God wants every believer to be a part of His body, seeking the release of the gifts and the fruit, and being a part of the church, engaging the world to set people free from darkness and bring them to Jesus. So that's a part of every believer. Now, just a little side note here. In your bulletin, a Tuesday in a week, we have a membership class at our house. And just I love all of you. If you're attending here and you're not a member, I love you. I'm glad you're attending. But I would urge you to think about becoming a member, officially saying, Oakdale is where God is leading me to connect to and worship. At this season of my life, I want to follow Jesus, so I'm going to become a member of Oakdale. So do that. We'd love to have you at our house Tuesday in a week. If that doesn't suit, we'll make it some other time. So while I'm on that, several weeks ago, I heard it again. This weird, strange statement. Something like, well, what does it benefit me to be a member of Oakdale? I actually heard that. And I usually think of an appropriate response. You need to know this about me. About a day later, I'll think of a really appropriate response. Here's the appropriate response to that question. What a stupid question. What is this all? Is this all about you? No, it's not about you. Forget the benefits for you. The appropriate question is, will this help me serve in the body of Christ, or will it not? How can I best use my life to serve Jesus Christ through the local church? That's the question. All right, I won't charge you extra for that little bit of truth. So, two things here in closing that out of this text. I urge you to devote your life to worship Jesus. If you haven't been in faith to the cross yet, do that today. There is a heaven and there is a hell. We want everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, Jesus, and we'll help you do that today. Devote your life to worship God. Devote it as a part of the local church. Get involved. The church needs you. Jesus needs your gifts, your contribution to serve the church. And the second thing is, I want to word this a little different than I did the first service. Seek to walk in the presence of Jesus every day. And as you walk in his presence, open your heart. Ask Jesus to release his gifts and fruit in your life. Now, first service I said, seek his gifts. And afterwards, like, no, don't seek the gifts. Seek Jesus. Seek to walk in the presence of Jesus. As you walk in the presence of Jesus, he will release in you the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. He'll change your heart to make it conform to his image. And he'll release his power in you. And it's appropriate. I have on my screensaver, my computer, just this prayer. Jesus, release in Oakdale the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Release the gift of tongues, prophecy, any gift that you want. We want to see more of the gifts of his Spirit released in our midst here, so that when unbelievers encounter us, they can see God's power and their hearts will be turned to Jesus, and we can continually encourage, edify each other and be an effective body of Christ. I invite you to stand. And Keith, if you want to come up, and just in closing, we're going to sing this song about the potter and allowing Jesus to have control of your life. And just devote your life, dedicate your life to following him, to being a part of the body, serving Jesus, seeking the release of the fruit and the gifts in your life to serve him.